time for Notre Dame's Best Hockey Show. From the WVFI studios in the second floor of the Duncan Student Center, it's 5 for Fighting Irish. Now, here's your hosts, Andrew McGinnis, Ryan Murphy, and Tyler Reedy. Let's drop the puck.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're so back.
We're so back.
We're so back! I have a sore throat already and the games haven't even started.
Ah! You have a sore throat from the games. I have a sore throat from the allergies.
No, I have a sore throat from the allergies too. I got the sore throat like last night for no apparent reason.
Glad to know it's not just me.
But yes, we are in the WVFI studio. Andrew McGinnis, Ryan Murphy. Tyler Reed is not here.
I miss you, Tyler.
I'm not exactly sure where Tyler is.
He's on a way to a baseball game.
He's running from me after the Royals. The so hot, so promising Royals played the hapless Mets, and yet somehow, some way, surely they won the series, right?
I got to listen to Vern, whoever Vern is, his 65-minute post-game show on the way back from Chicago
on
Friday.
That's hilarious.
Vern was optimistic. He wanted everyone to know that losing the 12th game of the season does not ruin everything.
Vern, Kansas City Royals.
Where do we think he went to college?
Vern just sounds right for a Midwest baseball.
Oh, doesn't
he?
It does. And how fitting, though, too, for Vern Lundquist's last Masters.
Their last on-air presence.
Can we talk about the Masters, though, for a quick sec? I know I'm the only one that...
Jersey boy, Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler.
Jersey boy.
Wow.
He lived there for 6 years.
Wire to wire, man played absolutely unreal golf. It was an unreal atmosphere in Augusta, Georgia, on top of it. But I think there's something more pressing, and it's a little chilly. And it is playoff hockey.
Heck yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Heck yeah. I wish everyone could see Andrew's face right now.
The fact that we're getting to game 82 is so cool. And I'm so happy that it's at home.
Because,
like, even if the Flyers don't make the playoffs, it's going to be a playoff-like atmosphere.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night, potentially winning in, potentially not. They might still need help as of that point. Maybe they'll get that help, and maybe they don't. I do notice that Jimmy Collins, who's usually in the side studio, is not currently here.
Well, he is still taping the Golden Ticket podcast.
Well, that's really unfortunate.
It looks like he's on his way over.
Because Matt Bedford. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Great pitcher from Staten Island, New York. Matt Bedford
FTT Major as well.
He's finishing up the podcast episode, and he'll make this short trek over from Studio 2B to Studio 1B.
I'm giving him the call from the bullpen.
I need to go now. I need to butter.
The call from the bullpen. We're bringing in not the one.
I need to butter up Murph before Jimmy can get here.
All yours, sir. Never mind the bullpen. He's going to Studio 1A.
Studio 1A is for contenders for a wild card spot.
I was going to say, my Boston Bruins and Vancouver Canucks look
You realize you can't like both of those teams.
You can't.
They produced one of the most brutal Stanley Cup finals in 2011.
You can't. Andrew's right about this. I hate to break it to you, Giants.
That's a party foul. What happened after the Game 7 is simply known as the Vancouver Riots.
Do I put more pressure on my local? No, let's go Canucks.
Yeah, that's
let's
exactly
go
right.
Omni Fantasy, choice. Baby.
Good choice.
What a traitor.
Good choice.
Or trottier, as they say in French.
Can someone check that for me?
I can look.
This is how cool the East playoff race is right now. My team
cool
has been out of
it
for like 4 months, and I'm more excited than I have been at any point this season. Like, I am so excited. Mainly to break Jimmy Collins' heart, but yes!
It's not happening.
My Detroit Red Wings will pull through.
Yes, they will.
I mean, you're not even guaranteed to get in, even if you do win both games. I do hate to break that to you.
The Caps are going to lose tonight, and then we are going to be guaranteed.
Pittsburgh would still have the tiebreaker on you if you guys finish tied.
Pittsburgh can only get to 90. We can get to 91.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, good point. Okay, so you can pass
get
Pittsburgh.
Get fact-checked!
I'm sorry!
Boom, I've read every scenario like 100 times.
So have I! Although I did send a Google Doc to my friend.
I've seen 13
I sent a Google
million
Doc
endings,
to my friends, and
how many
and I realized
of them do the Red Wings
I'm
make
slightly
the playoffs?
Wrong because of how... So, fun fact, you know, so the NHL... Actually, hold on, let me check the tiebreakers. Maybe it's different. But I remember a couple years ago, the Flyers and Panthers, 2018, were going down to the wire for the last playoff spot. And there was a potential for all the teams to be tied in all three tiebreakers, and there would be a game 83 play-in due to the fact that if you
which
like
never happened.
Well,
in
yes,
the NHL.
It's never happened before in the history of the NHL, yeah. Which was only possible because the Flyers and Panthers played three games that season. But because the Flyers and Panthers played two games in Florida, the first game in Florida did not count for the purpose of determining head-to-head record.
Oh, that's crazy.
So the Flyers lost 2 of 3 that year to Florida, but the first game didn't count for the tiebreakers.
I didn't know that was a rule.
It is a rule. And so it's
that's a stupid rule.
It could potentially very hurt the Flyers this year because it could
rule.
Come into play with Washington.
We're gonna play a little rules trivia later. I have another weird wonky rule that I learned over the weekend.
Wait, yeah, so, hold on. So
I think it's icing.
But I weren't
goaltender interference.
But I do want everyone to know that at 9:24 a.m. this morning, I got a picture of an octopus.
Wait,
from, a text from Jimmy Collins this morning. I was like,
you sent him a nice little picture of an octopus on the ice.
It's actually
as soon
not,
as he woke up, he just sent me this picture.
I just wanted to let him know how many he's going to see tonight.
I don't care. You guys can win tonight.
And,
fine by
and
me.
And in Montreal, you're going to see
as
it.
As long There's as no you chance. Score 9... In regulation.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
As long as you score 9.
So you're saying you'd be happy with a 10-9 Red Wings win?
Absolutely not.
I'd love to see Andrew's emotions if that happened.
One 10-9 Red Wings win. Sure.
Sure.
Amazing. Fantastic.
Yeah, we can't drop a single point.
I think you can drop
or
one.
Or we can drop one. We can't lose in regulation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Correct.
We have to either win or go to overtime.
You have to take 3.
You have to get 3.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yes.
Which we're going to do. I'm not worried about that.
You're not worried about a back-to-back with Alex Lyon and James Reimer.
Former Flyer Alex Lyon, baby.
That's right.
You don't think he's in on the bit?
Hey, James Reimer played pretty well and late in the game.
in every period except for the second one.
Yeah, so 3
out of 3 ain't bad, as Meatloaf once said.
I'm just saying, I've been saying this for the last month, that if we were going to come down to these two games for the Red Wings, they're screwed. Like, there's just no way that the Canadians are going to lose both these games to end the season after the season they've had.
Let me tell you how hard it is to play two late-season games against the Montreal Canadiens.
We're gonna do it for Dylan Larkin.
Do you guys want my bit of rules trivia that I learned over the weekend?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So
I'm all ready for rules.
So a few weeks
says
ago,
says noted Interhall ref Jake Irons.
Yep. So true. You're such a rules guy,
dude. Hold on. Can we take a break in action for a little bit of a story time?
Oh, boy.
I was out. And some person came up to me and was like, "You're an official that blew the call in the first half of my inner hall basketball game."
And
was the call in question?
A travel. And in all honesty, I definitely blew it. But continue on with the rule.
Did you own up to it or did you defend your call?
Oh, no. You defend the call. So, hey, sorry.
Respect the book.
Hey, sorry. Saw what I saw. But continue. What's this rule?
That's the epitome of fandom or of fame on the Notre Dame campus, by the way.
Yep.
Okay, so a few weeks ago, the Wild pulled their goalie in overtime.
Oh, yeah, I knew this rule before. I knew this rule a while ago.
I never knew this.
Hold on, please let him say it. I'm interested.
Yeah.
You can go for it. Since you know the rule, go for it.
Yeah, so if you pull your goalie in overtime, not for a delayed penalty does not affect it, only if you pull your goalie just of your own volition. If you pull your own goalie in overtime and the other team scores in the empty net, you lose the point for going to overtime.
You do not get the loser point.
No loser point.
But if you win the game, you get both points.
Because it's essentially forfeiting.
I don't really understand it, honestly.
Because they did win one of those, right?
Yes, they did it twice, and the first time they won, but then tried it again and then gave up the goal.
I think the idea is that, like, the risk-reward would be so high in favor of reward if you gave people the extra point that, like, they'd be constantly pulling their goalies in overtime.
Well, it's possible. It's possible you see the Flyers doing that on Wednesday if there's a situation where they have to win before a shootout.
Right.
Where it would obviously make sense in that case. Totally. Huh. Like, it would be objectively the right
Which
decision.
Which would be so much fun. I can't remember, Andrew, can you remember the last time an NHL playoff race has gone down to the wire like this? This is
well,
the most exciting
I actually wrote
I
an article today for the Hockey Raiders. The Flyers, three times in the 2010s,
it was very good.
Clinched a playoff spot in the last 2 days of the season.
Wow. Okay.
The most famous is 2010, of course, where the Flyers and Rangers played for the last spot. On the last two games of the season, the Flyers and Rangers played each other head to head. Rangers won the first game in MSG. Second game, last game of the year, goes all the way to a shootout. It's tied after two rounds.
That's awesome.
And Claude Giroux scores on Henrik Lundqvist, and Brian Boucher stops Olli Jokinen and sends the Flyers to the playoffs, and they wind up going to the final.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like whoever makes it is going to go on a run.
But in 2016 and 2018, the Flyers clinched on the second to last day of the season.
But when was the last time that there were this many teams still in the running?
In 2016, Detroit also clinched a playoff spot on that same day. It was Philly, Boston, and Detroit for three spots on the last day, the last 2 days of the season.
Detroit played Tampa, right?
Detroit played the Rangers that day. In the playoffs, they played Tampa.
That was the last time they were in, right?
Correct.
They played Tampa each of the last two times
they made the playoffs.
I could be wrong about that, but I think Larkin
I'm
was
almost
the only
positive
guy on the
you're
team.
Correct.
Because.
Yeah. I think you are right about that.
It was Datsuk's last year, for reference.
But, like, you still have the Islanders, the Capitals, the Red Wings, the Flyers, the Penguins. They're all still mathematically in it. That's five teams right there.
Yeah,
there's only two spots. Lightning are in, right? That's
five teams
for two spots. I can't remember the last time there were
Islanders are pretty much in.
They're in a very good spot.
Yeah. But I'm including them in that conversation.
Yes, like, they've not clinched yet.
They'd have to lose both in regulation, I think.
No, they wouldn't have the tiebreaker over almost every team. They wouldn't have
because we have the tiebreaker over them.
The Flyers cannot catch them, but you cannot. I don't think you would really. It actually could come into play. I take that back for you guys. You guys might. You're currently tied.
I think we're the only
for the first tiebreaker. You do have the second tiebreaker.
Yeah,
currently
we're the only team that has the tiebreaker win. You're
the
only team that we have a tiebreaker
over.
So
the first tiebreaker is regulation wins. The second tiebreaker is regulation plus overtime wins. And the third tiebreaker is total wins.
Gotcha.
Which is very good because that was not the if it was still 2018 rules, the Flyers, it would affect the Flyers slightly negatively in terms of their chances. But because of how it works out, they would have to pass Washington in total wins even be in a chance to make the playoffs.
It is incredible the stories you have in that East race, too. Like, I don't know if I would have guessed that the Islanders would be in this position again, where they're again going to make the playoffs, right?
How about with the goalie that's going to be in the – it's going to be Varlamov, it seems like, start the playoffs. Sorokin played very well in that game against the Rangers on Saturday, I believe. It was
totally
Saturday,
unexpected.
Sure. But I think they got to go with Varlamov with how he's played.
And then the Penguins, 7-1-2 in their last 10. Like, who would have thought in January that
the
Penguins were going to be here?
Everyone was like, oh, that trade they made for Jake Gensel stunk, totally forgetting that Michael Bunting had 63 points 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and what do you know, he's been almost a point-a-game player with the Penguins so far.
It's really awesome to see. I mean, I'm just so entertained by it.
All right, I'm going to go over this. So you want to go over the scenarios for you guys? Do you know all of them? Because
I know
I have all the Flyers ones.
I know we need to, if we win both, we just need Washington to lose 1 point, I think.
That would be correct.
And then.
That would be the only thing you'd need.
And then we could only.
You could potentially drop 1 point.
Yeah, we could drop 1 point if Washington
finishes
in regulation. 89.
So if they were to lose once in regulation or lose twice in overtime slash a shootout.
And I know if we lose a game in regulation, we're automatically out because the Flyers and Washington play. So one of them's going to get to 89.
Yeah, you would not have the tiebreaker.
And they have the tiebreaker.
Yes.
So, but it's okay. We're going to win both.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I saw Elliot Friedman tweeting, like, Maple Leafs are going to the power play with 3 minutes left, and if they win this game in regulation, what? Detroit's done.
Yeah.
But the big kill, and then you guys get a power play goal in overtime.
When we got called for the penalty, I was like, oh, it is so over. I just sat there, like, covering my eyes. I just knew. I thought Austin Matthews was going to score.
Yeah, it would have been so poetic,
yeah. But he didn't.
He did not.
And, yeah, that was the tripping at the end of regulation was, like,
Max Domi.
Yeah.
Brother. I'm sorry. I like, obviously, the Flyers don't make it. I want the Red Wings to make it more than
I do, too. I will tell you guys both, as much as I like am like king of chaos right now, and like the outside
Murph
perspective,
is pulling the strings.
I my second favorite team growing up was always the Red Wings. I've never liked the Flyers. Sorry, Andrew. But I always liked the Red Wings. So I would like to see one of the Red Wings or the Flyers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like I would much rather see them than the Capitals. So my understanding is the Capitals have the inside track, but they also play Boston, and there's just no way they're going to win. But I don't know. Maybe
the Capitals do not control their own destiny. The Flyers
don't.
They do not. Well, I take that back. They do control their own destiny, but the Flyers can eliminate them with a regulation win tomorrow.
Okay. So the Flyers have the
Flyers do not have the inside track on Pittsburgh or Detroit.
So nobody has the inside track.
That's so even. I guess.
No one.
Washington is the team that controls its destiny the most because if the Capitals win their last two games, they're in. They are in. Yeah. They are in for certain.
Even if.
Does not matter if they go to overtime, does not matter if they go to shootout. They win their last two, they are in.
Even if Philadelphia wins.
Philadelphia can't win. They play Washington.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the intensity of it. And that it feels like it. It's giving 2010 a little bit.
Here's my official prediction.
Does that mean Travis Sanheim is Chris Pronger?
My official prediction is the Wings are going to win tonight, and Washington's going to lose, whether it be regulation or
Pittsburgh
overtime.
Also plays tonight. They're at Nashville, I believe.
But I think that
they are home against Nashville. Correction.
It's all going to come down, like we're going to be in the spot on the. On the last day tomorrow, and we're going to find a way to screw it up in true Detroit fashion.
See, but that's not... I know Detroit sports fans, that's their, like, their MO mentality, but that's not the Red Wings MO mentality.
Right.
No.
Like, that's a very Lions,
it's the same
Tigers,
old Lions.
Pistons, like, it's mentality.
It's the same old Lions mentality, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's not the Red Wings. The Red Wings are the Cinderella, like, they... Historically.
Yeah.
I mean, 11 cups.
Yeah.
Pretty good. It's a lot more than the Flyers do have. Certainly.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how many do the Flyers have?
That'd be two.
Ugh. Rookie numbers over here.
The good news is we went back to back. The bad news is it was 74-75.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I think they've won more.
We lost in 76 to the Canadians.
How many do the Canadians have? Oh, hold on.
Well, the Flyers, their number also starts with a two. The problem is there's a second digit. 24, right?
You sound like a Yankees fan.
Ryan Murphy 20, is sarcastically
21,
counting.
22, 23, 24.
I need you to be a little more considerate to Yankees fans, knowing we just lost maybe the greatest voice in baseball today.
I did see that.
Please. Let's show more.
I think he's the greatest voice in baseball, so.
I would say a moment of silence for John Sterling, but like, that
Jason
might be
Benetti.
Too...
That's, I don't know if I would go that far, but let's be cognizant of Yankee fans today. Thank you.
Yep.
Sorry, Giants.
Yeah.
Appreciate the apology.
Yeah. So these are the situations for the Flyers. So if they beat Washington regulation tomorrow, that would obviously put them in a very good spot. They need Pittsburgh and Detroit to not get more than 2 points in their last two games. Doesn't matter if it's one win. Doesn't matter if it's
so you're basically
two tough. Overtime losses. You're even showing me a death stare right now. Does that matter?
Are you going to start waving the white flag soon?
I'm not. The Red Wings, obviously, with the home and home against Montreal. They are home tonight, on the road tomorrow. Pittsburgh hosts Nashville tonight. They're on the road against the Islanders on Wednesday.
I hate that it's the Canadians.
So stupid. You hate that it's the Canadians.
I love it!
It's like... I like you, and I have nothing against the Canadians.
If
they're bad.
If Washington does not win tonight in regulation, the Flyers would still clinch with an overtime win tomorrow.
Okay.
And if Washington does not win in regulation or overtime, the Flyers would clinch with a win of any kind. Even if it went all the way to a shootout, just like in 2010, they would still make it.
So what would be...
But they still need the Pittsburgh and Detroit to drop 2 points situation in all those circumstances.
So what would be the most meaningful... situation for the Flyers tomorrow where both the Flyers and the Red Wings could still be in? Like, still have a chance.
Well, the Red Wings would probably... I guess, like, the Red Wings getting 1 point tonight would be the most dramatic because then they would have to win tomorrow.
Right. So they get one...
That would probably be the most dramatic. I mean, as a Flyers fan, obviously you're rooting for both the Red Wings and Penguins losing regulation.
Yeah.
Not just because, like, then you don't have to worry about tomorrow/Wednesday, but also that would mean then the Flyers are... win and in, depending, maybe having to win in regulation or overtime specifically.
Imagine.
Depending on how Washington fails tonight.
Imagine, like, if Pittsburgh drops a point, drops 1 point, are they out?
No, they're still in.
They're still in.
They can drop. So they can drop one. So they can drop only one.
Pittsburgh loses tonight.
Well, they could still get in if other teams lose a round. Or no, they couldn't because they have to get to at least 89.
Pittsburgh loses tonight.
Someone's getting 89.
In regulation.
Please.
Who do the Flyers play?
The Flyers are off tonight.
Oh, they're off. Okay, so the Flyers.
Flyers only have one game left.
Sitting pretty. The Wings get 1 point. So.
Yep.
And then the Caps lose in regulation.
That would definitely be the most dramatic. Because
and then the Flyers.
For all of us.
And the Flyers and the Wings would both be playing to make it, right? No,
The Red Wings would have the inside track.
And the Flyers would still be playing to
the Flyers,
make it.
Yes, the Flyers would be win and stay alive and eliminate Washington.
Okay, I hope that happens then. That would be
awesome. that would be for the two of us the most exciting outcome.
Just get Pittsburgh out of there. Washington can lose, so then it's just
it's an exciting time of season. Notre Dame baseball literally moved its game up 2 hours, not because of weather. Tomorrow,
are we doing the Notre Dame baseball
discourse?
No,
we're not. They moved their game up 2 hours, not because of weather, but just so I could watch the Flyers game at 7. Because it was going to be at 6:30, and now it's at 4:30. Which
aren't
is clutch.
They great people.
They are so great.
Hashtag,
so now I
you,
only
Notre
have
Dame
to
baseball.
Go into Kevin Harlan. I'm calling both games mode for about 2 innings rather than like 7.
Giants, you kind of alluded to this coming into the show, but is Andrew known for the I'm calling both games?
I would say so, yeah.
I pulled it on the VFI broadcast of Kent State.
Yeah.
Although I didn't say anything until JJ mentioned my reaction to Tyson Forster giving us the lead over Boston.
Don't worry, JJ's called two games at once too during my volleyball.
This is true.
Someone may have been calling Big Ten soccer at the same time.
This is true.
So
no way.
Oh, buddy.
Calling.
Wow.
No, just no. Like
yeah, exactly.
Giving thinly veiled updates on the broadcast that were disguised. I've also done with Notre Dame soccer before.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
We had a whole out-of-town scoreboard bit every time we would do a volleyball game at the same time Notre Dame soccer.
One of my
play.
Favorite press box memories, actually, is I was announcing Notre Dame versus Louisville soccer the night of Game 2 of Phillies Cardinals in the 2022 Wild Card Series, and there was a little bit of overlap between the end of the soccer game and the start of the Phillies game, and I took off my headset, game over, hadn't checked the score, and JJ told me it was 1-0 Phillies. And that wound up being the game-winning run. We won 2-0.
No bit.
I remember seeing Bryce Hunt homer as I walked out of the alumni.
I served to please.
You did a good job.
Jesus.
And the Mets won that night, too. So
this is
good.
True.
Question for you as a Flyers fan. I actually have two questions for you.
Hi.
How
you doing?
I don't know if you looked at the schedule for Tuesday and noticed that the Toronto-Florida game is on ESPN.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think they'd put the Flyers-Capitals game on ESPN?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I just question that.
So maybe they're assuming
working on it.
At JJ Post. Second question. Speaking of press box memories, how was your NHL experience on Friday?
It was really cool. So Tyler and I went out to Chicago on Friday.
Where he's back there again.
Yeah.
Shout
exactly.
out Tyler if you're listening. You're probably not. Shout out Tyler.
I gave him the phone.
Call us
I
now
phone
or
number.
You're fired.
We're promoting Jimmy full time.
<Yes. laughs> Bye bye.
Hockey.
See ya.
Hockey's
give me a job. There he goes.
See ya.
What can I say? Hey,
Reedy
as Tyler
takes
Reedy
a ride.
Drives
a Reetonian home run.
As Tyler Reedy drives on the Chicago Skyway, stepping up to the microphone is Jimmy Collins. But yes, hold on. It sounded like you had a good time. I was talking to Tyler earlier this week.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. So I'm part of like a mentorship program with the Professional Hockey Writers Association, working with Scott Powers of The Athletic for that. I actually just published my first of two stories for the program. It's on Daily Faceoff. It's about
Daily Faceoff.
Yes. Do you know what Daily Faceoff is?
I do.
Oh,
yeah.
It's,
we
a
love
good,
Daily
it's a great
Faceoff.
Website.
Let's
I, use,
face
I love
off
the line combination.
Daily.
I gotta say, I was one of Daily Faceoff's truthers before it like went big, and
I remember using it a while back too.
For
the
line
combo jerseys, it was so fun.
That's right.
That's where I checked to see who's starting in that.
It's a good place to look for it. But yeah, so I wrote about college like the direction of college hockey, potentially the NIL and transfer portal. Interviewed John Finneran. I didn't actually wind up using any of his quotes, but what he told me was very helpful, like background information and stuff. Also interviewed Tony Simeone and Colby Cohen. Obviously, Tony broadcast Notre Dame hockey for Peacock.
And
Colby.
You can hear him back on the airwaves on Saturday as Notre Dame takes on themselves in the Blue Bowl game. Streaming exclusively on Peacock. And I can say...
Company man. We have the two company men here in the back. Like, we have JJ and
I'm also
and
a company.
Andrew.
I'm
now
also
you're
a company man.
Man. Like,
what can we say?
Or, what can we say?
Or they could listen to me.
We could.
We could. Jimmy Collins on the call for WVFI.
Right here on WVFI being led by our own... Ryan Murphy as the new sports director.
We've got all the plugs.
Wow.
What an absolute
crew we got
here
today.
Don't forget, if you do listen to the Peacock broadcast, former NDTV member, Notre Dame Class of 22, and former Jim Nance Award winner, Caroline Pineda.
Yes, she will be back on there as well. One-time sports director of WVFI as well.
There we go. I did not know that.
I think we've flexed all of our muscles now, guys.
I'm sure we could dig something out.
I just love that the Bruins have to try tonight.
Well, the Bruins are incentivized to try regardless because they have not clinched the Atlantic Division yet.
Yeah,
and in fact, they're probably going to win the Atlantic.
You guys better win tonight.
I'm not talking about them. I don't know who you're talking about. Go Canucks, baby.
Oh my gosh.
Get out of here. The Bruins could still...
Name one player on the Canucks.
They can do that. Come on. You don't know one player?
He could name one player on the Yankees from the 2009 team.
That's insanity.
One Canucks player?
One. Give me one.
You couldn't name Philip Peronic, Red Wing legend.
Oh, my heart.
Elias Pettersson.
You have no idea. That was your Philip Peronic.
You know what, Jacob?
Was.
You know what, Jacob? You know, I think that means we need to watch Canucks. I mean, we need to come over at like 10 o'clock and we need to watch the Canucks playoffs.
Yeah, see, that's my problem. Can we talk about this
giant Canucks watch party?
I'm all for it. They're my Omni fantasy team. So give me the Canucks or give me death.
Don't you.
But yeah.
Forget about
well, you
me.
Know, Murph, to your point, you're talking about how the playoff race is so crazy undecided. The President's Trophy race.
My team is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Is that good?
Yeah, because the Rangers and the...
They've clinched. They're not as good as they've been in years past, but they're always a threat to go deep with that.
That's fine. We'll take it.
But yeah, we've still got four teams alive in the President's Trophy race. The Rangers, Hurricanes, Stars, and Bruins could all get it. Right now, the Rangers have the inside track, but Boston is the only team with two games left. Everyone else has one, so...
Boston better win tonight.
Yeah, they better indeed because they could still get jumped. Florida cannot win the Presidents. They cannot win the East, but they could still win the Atlantic, which would mean avoiding Toronto in the first round if that is preferable to them, and also getting home ice for a potential second round matchup if they were to play Boston.
Yeah, I think the Boston Bruins could very well walk away with the President's Cup. I think they're playing.
Saw how that went last year.
Fine by me. President's Trophy.
President's Trophy.
Saw how that went
me.
Last year.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, we didn't
and Murphy
about that.
In 2014.
Yep, fine by me. Bruins win the President's Trophy. They're guaranteed out in the first or second round. I'm psyched about that.
I hope you guys win the President's Trophy because then we get to play you.
Trivia question. Who was the last President's Trophy winning team to win the Stanley Cup?
Give me the Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's Penguins.
Which year? Which year?
20. Did they win in 11?
They did not.
Okay.
09, 16, and 17 were the years.
Give me 09.
You'd be incorrect with any of those three.
Red Wings 08.
No.
Damn it. Oh, right?
They were
right?
I believe they were the last team to win the Cup and the
so
President's
I was
Trophy.
Right
in
with
here's the hint in a full season.
90s. I want to say 1990.
No, you're going way too far. Way too far.
So I was right with my Pittsburgh.
No, you were not right.
Then why'd you make me guess a year?
Because I wanted to play with you.
The 2002 season.
Nope. Give me the 09. Give me the 09 Ducks, just so I like
the
Ducks.
The Ducks won in 07, and you'd be wrong with the year or
the
team.
Mighty Ducks? What?
I
didn't
just
know
like,
they were
I just like the Ducks.
Wait, so why was my Red Wings one
Wait,
wrong?
Because they were the second most recent team to win the President's Trophy.
A full season.
I did give you a big hint there.
Full season.
The last team to win the President's Trophy and win the Stanley Cup did so in a season that was not 82 games, which really only leaves you with three options.
The Canucks.
Nope. They've never won a cup. Period.
Wait, the Canucks haven't won a cup, right?
Zero. No.
That's right. This is going to be the year, baby.
Blackhawks.
This is the year.
Of course, Jake.
The 2013 Chicago Blackhawks, who I believe started that year like 25-0-3 or something insane.
That's right. I remember that.
Because that was when they had
crazy.
Kaner.
That's when they had Connor Bedard.
Connor Bedard was
Dave
like
Bolland scored the
Dude,
winning goal.
I know.
With
I'm joking here, folks.
Bolland.
All right,
Bolland,
I think Studio 1B's, we're going to mute our mics. All right, bye-bye.
Whoa. Well, you better turn that volume up, though, Jake, because you know what time it is.
Oh, hold on. Oh! Come
Doku.
On now.
Do it. This is radio. We can't have dead air.
We have a soundbite for this now?
We do.
You oh, Ryan wasn't there. It's his last time.
For Pakdoku.
Where's the music?
Oh, hold on. Oh, our producer sucks.
Looks like Tyler's not the only one getting fired today.
It's time for Pakdoku.
Oh, my goodness. No way. No way. No way. It's not possible. This is not happening.
Oh,
no,
it's
right
possible.
Now. This music is too fitting, too.
I
well,
know.
And it's
I found
a fitting
it.
Pakdoku today because it does include the Vancouver Canucks.
Let's go!
It also includes the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it also includes the Anaheim No Longer Mighty Ducks. On the horizontal row, we have Canucks, Penguins, and Stanley Cup winner. And on the vertical row, we have Ducks, Oilers, and WHL.
Nice.
And I hate when the junior leagues are included. I'm so bad at the junior leagues.
This is where
Ryan Murphy comes to play, folks.
Well,
I
got a decent one for. Oh, I've got a great one actually for Ducks Canucks, Duck Nucks, if you will. 1% MDZ Michael Del Zotto. Oh no, oh no! I thought I could have put him for Stanley Cup winner because he did win the Blues. But the player must, one, have their name engraved on the cup, which I'm not sure if he does, but they also must have won it with the team. So you need a Stanley Cup winner with Anaheim. Mm-hmm. So from 07, and then an Edmonton Cup winner from any of those 80s or 90s teams. Or well, I guess the only one 90s team. One. Yes. Oilers Canucks is the next one. Could go Sam Gagner. That's an option.
Trying to think of the most obscure player on those Oilers.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Andy Moog or Moog, I'm not sure. But I know he's one of their goalies. You also go Kevin Lowe. Hall of Famer Kevin Lowe. For the Ducks, I'm gonna go with I think I'm going Todd Marchant. Or Marchand, however you say it. I have his hut card.
How does Timu Solani only get 10%?
That's actually kinda crazy. Marchand got 1%.
Yeah. That's weird that Who's? I wonder who the top pick for that is.
It's got to be Korea then. Or, yeah, Korea was still there, I think.
Yep.
Was he?
No,
he was not. No, he was not.
No,
he was not. Getzlaf, Perry, those guys were both there. They were young, but they were there. Pronger and Niedermeyer are probably the two big ones, actually. And
yes.
Niedermeyer,
you're right.
The J.S. Jaguar, the goalie. Could also put Briz. He was the backup.
True. That's
crazy. I wish I'd done that now over Marchand. What is happening?
Senior thingy that's going on.
There's
going
to be fireworks on South Quad to commemorate the memory of Father Jenkins.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I have a great question. I have
South
a question
Quad's
about
the best
this.
Quad.
I was debating this with some of
so
my.
So, what I'm hearing is we can set up fireworks for football games if we
hold
really
on,
want
hold
to.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Well, we did during
so
UFC.
I was talking about this with some friends earlier. Do you think it is stupid that there are two separate food sessions, or like, is that a good idea? Because like, there's food trucks at 6:15, but then there's pizza later. I think it's stupid that why wouldn't I not just get it all at
I
once?
I also find this quite interesting that
it
corresponds. It
sounds like I'll be at softball anyway, so doesn't matter.
With Notre Dame Day.
You think they're employing something there?
Yeah,
yes,
they're definitely
going
to put that online.
I might be the one broadcasting.
But why am I going to complain?
Dude, there's going to be a DJ.
I'm going to be.
Dude, a DJ? On a Tuesday
watching
night.
Fireworks.
They should be telling
Welcome
everyone
to
get
Notre
over to
Dame,
Cook
folks.
Stadium for Central Michigan.
So hey, question. What do you actually? We can talk about that after the show.
Hold on, we're still talking about the we're still on Pakdoku, good sir.
Pakdoku.
I'm debating whether I put Carl Hagelin or David Perron for Ducks Penguins, or if I try to think of someone better. Ducks Penguins. I could either go David. Oh, I could actually go Perron.
Hagelin got 7%. So try your hand with Perron.
Well, I want to do Perron. I think for Penguins Oilers.
Ooh. How many teams has Perron been on?
A lot. Also the Blues,
I didn't
the Golden Knights.
The Blues and the Wings.
He's been in the Blues three separate times.
I didn't realize Perron was on the Withers.
Yeah. He was, I like the very start of his career, I believe.
It'd be so funny if
I wonder who he got traded for. No, I'm a 1,000,000% certain. I'm just trying to think of someone else I could put for Penguins Ducks. Oh, I can go with Nick Bonino.
Today's Jackie Robinson Day.
6% for Bonino.
It is.
Bonino, 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 Bonino.
Bonino!
And 3% for Perron. For the Oilers Cup winner, I'm going to go with Andy Moog. 2%, I'll take that. It might be Moog. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that.
I think it's Moog, yeah.
I think it, or, yeah, I think it is. Canucks, Oilers. I'm only able to think of, like, Sam Gagne right now, and I know he's not going to score well. I'm trying to think of someone else. There's got to be someone. Mason Raymond played for, like, every Canadian team except the Oilers, which is unfortunate right now. I'm trying to think of, like, I try to think of, like, deadline acquisitions sometimes. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, players the Oilers got, like, trade deadlines and stuff. Like, they got Pat Maroon in 2017. They got Athanasiou and Mike Green in 2020.
Athanasiou.
Yes. And late career Mike Green as well.
What teams is this?
Canucks and Oilers. Green and Green and Athanasiou are both wrong. Don't put them. Neither played for the Canucks.
I've got something else on.
Ooh. For Canucks, Oilers?
No, I'm just saying that I wasn't looking at it.
There's also a Doku Jr. today. And it's got some A. It's got the Red Wings AHL affiliate too.
I was just looking at the Doku Jr. and I want to point out that the Manchester
Griffins?
Monarchs are on there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Rest in peace, Manchester Monarchs.
I'm gonna ask. I don't even know who they are.
They used to be 20 minutes from my house, and they actually won? Question mark.
A Calder Cup.
I'm gonna look that up.
Is Calder Cup the
AHL championship? There's also the Calder Trophy, not to confuse with that, which is Rookie of the Year.
Yes, I knew that.
Which is what Sider won 2 years ago. And Raymond almost won that year as well. I am really getting frustrated here. Devin Dubnyk was never a Canuck.
Manchester Monarchs won.
I don't think
Utica.
That's right, they beat Utica
in 2015
know one of the guys who's on that team, whose name I'm looking up right now because I'm annoyed. You know who's on that team?
Who?
Paul Bissonnette.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Paul Bissonnette. This
you know Paul Bissonnette?
Would you like to hear some of the names on this team while we're down the road?
Let's
I don't
do
think
it.
So.
He's Johnny Brodzinski, Nick Dowd, Scott Sabourin, Jordan Wheel.
Oh, Jordan Flyers legend Jordan Wheel.
Former Hab Jordan
the
Wheel.
The Wheel deal. We traded him to you guys.
And,
or no, we didn't. You got him from Arizona.
Yeah. And Adrian Kempe.
Kempe turned out. He's the best. He's the best guy of that bunch.
Wait, so
in terms of NHL,
was
success.
Manchester the AHL affiliate? The
Kings, yes.
Jeff Schultz.
Oh.
So Paul, Derek,
no relation
Forbort,
to Nick. Ooh,
Derek
he had a good.
Forbort,
he's had a good career as well.
Andrew Bodnarchuk.
Paul Bissonnette.
Don't know who that is.
He's does TNT stuff. He's
Barstool.
Oh, I know Paul. Spit and Chicklets.
Spit and Chicklets. That's what I know him from.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm just say we vote that the WHL category is canceled because I suck at junior hockey identification.
Sucks to suck.
Dang, there's no one at this Tigers game tonight because everyone's at the Wings game.
I was putting Sam Gagne. 9% for Gagne. I guess I have to try for WHL. This is so annoying. I hate everything. Was Demko WHL? I know Carter Hart was. I'm trying to think of, like, comes to mind, obviously, because I don't know many WHL guys, but I know remember Hart was one. I can't remember if Demko was also in that league. Maybe Troy Stetcher.
I'm also surprised when I'm
straws.
Asked to like when I'm asked to like procure one WHL player's name. I'm like, I don't remember.
I just don't know.
Well, we can.
I'll try Stetcher. He's wrong. I'll try Demko. He's wrong.
You went.
The Penguins.
Good call, sir.
You got one?
No.
Oh.
Jimmy's just commenting on baseball over there. Never mind.
The Phillies are about to start, too.
Hey,
so
buddy,
I'm gonna be in
you,
the same boat.
You might be kicked out of Studio 1A here and sent back to 1B here quickly.
Yeah, careful.
I said that I was taking the puck to
Doku. We're going to pass you through waivers.
I'll trade him for a first conditional pick.
Ooh, that's pretty
first
good.
Round pick?
He's pretty good. He's valuable.
Today I'm valuable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, he's going to drop down to a third-round pick and a...
System host.
That would be me, system host.
I don't even know, man.
I will say I'm now down the rabbit hole of the AHL Manchester Monarchs videos. Okay.
I did go to an AHL game recently. I told you guys. It was fun. It was a good game.
Nice.
A lot of fights.
Penguins?
ECHL is a lot of fights.
Yeah, there was a fight, though. It was pretty awesome. That's my favorite part. Of the games.
Fighting?
Yes.
Huh?
Do you guys remember that one call that...
I'm guessing Letang.
Do you guys remember that one call that...
Oh, no, I got all three wrong. Who could have seen that coming?
Who's that famous NHL ref that makes all the good...
Wes McCauley.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember the one where he was, like, at the Red Wings game, where he was, like, for fighting, and he went, like...
Yes.
Yep.
I was at that game.
You were at that game?
No way.
That's cool.
All right. So we've talked about the what could happen with the playoff race in the East. We talked about what happened in the President's Trophy race. Why don't we talk about something that we know is going to happen? We have one first round matchup that is locked in right now.
Ooh, yeah.
It's the Colorado Avalanche against the Winnipeg Jets. And, well, Colorado would seem like the favorite in that. You know, obviously they've won the Cup a couple years ago. They've got the better pedigree, I'd say. A couple of days ago, the Jets and Avalanche played in Colorado.
Touchdown,
they wouldn't know what the score of that game was.
Jets.
7-0, right?
Correct. 7-0 for the Winnipeg Jets, absolutely wiping the floor with the Colorado Avalanche.
I knew I was screwing myself when I picked both of those teams in Omni Fantasy.
You did?
I didn't know that I was going to be screwing myself this badly.
That badly, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very disappointed about it. Hope the Jets win.
Well, you know that at least one of them is going to win this series, though.
I'll get guaranteed one, but I have no chance for two.
Yeah. I don't remember who my second team is, but I know I have the Wings, so.
I took Florida with the first pick, the first hockey pick.
Yeah.
They
were in first at the time.
I'll be rooting for the Jets. I think the Avalanche,
they stumbled a little bit, but I still feel
probably
decent about them.
Have,
yeah, I mean, they can win the Atlantic.
The chance to go further, but
who
that's
going
to be an awesome.
The
series.
Avs?
I think the Avs of those two teams have the chance to go further, but that's going to be an awesome series. Another, I don't know if you guys saw this, and I know it's not on our agenda necessarily, but
I also have the Flyers. Let's go.
Anyone see the Mark Stone news?
Oh yeah. Well, again, I took the Flyers when I didn't realize the Golden Knights were still on the board and on.
Oh, I got
and
the
then
Golden
I felt
Knights.
Like an idiot.
That's what I got. Yeah, because I said I was taking the Golden Knights. Andrew was like, dude, if I knew they were there, I would have taken them.
I feel so bad about that.
Defending Stanley Cup champion Golden Knights.
I don't know about you guys. I think you should have the cap. Like, I think this is the easiest way to fix it. Your starting lineup in the playoffs are 20 guys that you're dressing. They have to be under the cap. I think it's stupid, frankly.
I do too. I think if a guy's not there at the end of the regular season, he's not there.
Like, well, no, I think that's fair, especially if someone gets hurt right at the end and like they have to miss like a round or so, or whatever. And I obviously it would make no sense for the Golden Knights to play Mark Stone in Game 81, even if they could get him into the lineup with their cap situation, just because like why would we risk injury again? So like I understand that, but like I think that's why you go with the system where your 20-man lineup in the playoffs has to be cap compliant. You can have all the spares you want, you can have all the healthy scratches you need, all the guys you want for practice and whatnot, or just to be in the press box.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty reasonable solution.
Like I know people, and I'm not whining.
No, neither am I. Look, it's right now under the rules, it's totally legal.
It's
like
totally
Mark Stone. What did he do to his? He hurt his spleen very badly.
Bad. Yeah.
Like, this wasn't like, oh, I stubbed my toe.
Teams aren't using it deliberately to give themselves an advantage, but you can't ignore the fact that it is giving them an advantage. Like, the pattern the last 2 or 3 years has been.
Two of the last three years,
the Cup champion has had a star player come back just in time for the playoffs, and they've been able to fill their hole with other players. And then add that player on top. It's not. It is an advantage. It just so happens to be that you know, it worked out that way for them, mm-hmm. right? They weren't trying to do it that way, but
yeah,
it's still something that's worth fixing.
For sure. Yeah, I do think it's definitely. And I understand like it's something that has to be collectively bargained. So it's not like Batman could like snap his fingers even if he wanted to. But yeah, I do think that is something that definitely should be addressed. So I have some other stuff on the sheet here. Connor McDavid missed 3 straight games injury. I think he's coming back. Obviously the Oilers need him to be like pretty close to 100% and being Connor McDavid, they're going to go on a deep run this year, which I definitely think they have a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
Jakob Silfverberg retiring after a great NHL career, spent almost entirely with the Anaheim Ducks. He did have one season at the beginning with the Detroit Red Wings. Underrated thing for Jakob Silfverberg. Who played 819 career games. I didn't realize how good he was in the playoffs. Anaheim made 2 Western Conference final runs during his tenure, and in 33 combined games in those runs, Silfverberg had 32 points.
Wow.
That's a beast.
Points per game play in the playoffs. That's pretty good.
Yeah, some of his other runs, so he's not that for his career. He's got 45 and 69 career playoff games. But, I mean, point per game and 2 Western Conference final runs, like you really can't ask more than that. I forget. He was part of the Bobby Ryan trade. I think we actually talked about this on a previous show.
We did.
Yeah,
we did, because we were playing one of the other Puck Doku
games. Yeah, that's it. Nick Jensen had a very scary injury on Saturday for the Washington Capitals. I believe I remember like he was, he avoided the hospital after being stretchered off the ice. I don't know what his status is for the last two games of the season, or the playoffs potentially. Obviously, hopefully, he's okay and is able to return as soon as possible and as soon as it's safe for him too. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Obviously, we had the NCAA tournament take place over the weekend.
And there's one thing I think we'd remiss to talk about, and that would be the Coyotes.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I made the sheet before.
I was
going to
bring that up. I was like,
Utah Coyotes.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City Coyotes.
The Salt Lake Sandbaggers. I don't know.
Wow. Whoa.
Is that a bad, like,
KERs on this airwave?
Is that like a? I didn't think that was like a bad term. A sandbagger is someone who intentionally misleads others to gain something.
I can think of a different term for Salt Lake City residents that
I'm not saying it.
This is a family show.
I'm not saying it.
This is a family show.
But I'm sure we all know what I'm referring to. That starts with an S.
Oh my God.
Water guns, of course.
Yes.
What'd you just?
Water guns, of course.
What?
Never mind.
I'm so confused.
I made a comment.
Evidently only Ryan got it.
I got the joke.
Oh, I can think of one like S word you could use as like a funny joke.
It's
like,
similar.
No, it's very similar.
I feel like I'm going
on the right track.
Oh, God.
Oh my God.
Jesus. Wow.
But yeah, so the Arizona Coyotes are apparently looking like they're going to be no more.
Did you see the PR statement they put out?
Yeah.
Where the cursor was showing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I did not see that.
Yeah, the cursor is showing in the PR statement.
Oh,
so
man.
It's not good. It's how you should not do PR in about 2 seconds.
It's bad journalism.
It's bad journalism.
Oh, yeah.
Bad English.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it seems like they are indeed moving to Salt Lake City. First and foremost, I'm just saying, I feel really bad for Coyotes fans. I rewatched their 2012 Western Conference Final Run highlights. And, like, dude, that arena is so full. Like, the crowd was great. They had the whiteout
going.
Where
have they been, though?
Well, where have the Coyotes been in the playoffs? They've only made it once since then, and that was in the 2020 season, and they were 11th in the regular season that year. They probably wouldn't have made it.
I believe that time that they made it in 2012 was also the first time in, like, 25
no,
years.
No, that was incorrect. They had made it in the two previous seasons.
Okay.
Oh. And actually lost to the Red Wings, I think maybe in both of those
seasons. Before that, they hadn't made it in 25 years.
It wasn't quite that bad. I wish
the Wings were still in the West.
I saw Jay Fresh, who's like a good analytics person on Twitter, Jay Fresh Hockey. He like broke them down by era. And so he like basically uses the era. So from 96, 97, which I think was their first year through the 01-02 season, the Coyotes were usually like a solid team. They made the playoffs every year from 97 through 2000, missed in 01, made it back in 02. Problem is they went out in the first round every single year, which is obviously unfortunate. But then they went under a rough stretch. They missed the playoffs in 5 straight years, which is bad. But, you know, that happens to teams. The Flyers have missed 3 straight. They might miss 4. You know, like
the Red Wings have missed 8,
exactly,
7
yeah.
straight.
5 straight is not that uncommon. Yeah. Then they have the good run where after the NHL, this was when the time the NHL owned them because they had to buy them because their owner was going bankrupt. They hired Dave Tippett as head coach. Leads them to 50 wins in their first season. They make the playoffs the next year. They lose in the first round both seasons, but then they have the breakthrough with the big Western Conference final run. And then they come out of the lockout. They're kind of meh the next 2 years. They miss the playoffs. And then they hit rock bottom trying to get McDavid. And it just sent them into a spiral that they'd never really dug out of. They almost made it in 2019. They did kind of make it in 2020.
But they were mid again,
and then they were terrible. But until like 2012, in terms of on-ice success, like...
But I think you encapsulated the Coyotes' predicament right there. You just said they had some good years of on-ice success while the NHL owned
the
team because
their owner was bankrupt.
Yes,
the big problem is that they've never been able to find a stable owner.
That's right.
And in the last decade, they haven't really been able to find a stable arena either.
And there's not enough. Like, I understand your argument about, like, if the team is good, the fans will be there.
Yes.
But at the same time, they've had a long enough time. They've had time when they were good. Like, at what point...
Well, when they were good, the fans showed up.
That's right, but at what point...
But I want to... Can I argue the question? At what point... Like, there has never been a good team that hasn't had fans there. It's always been...
The Tampa Bay Rays had a postseason game in front of 15,000 people.
That's very true.
Also, as an MLS fan, allow me to dispute this idea that you can have a good team and have great attendance.
Exactly. So
Is it rare? Yes, but the point is that there is a market for hockey in Arizona.
But
and if a different owner had taken over this franchise, I think they could be in a much better
spot. But they've had, like, 10 different
owners. Look, I understand why they're moving, and, like, I think it's ultimately the right call.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think it could work. And, like, they're probably going to come back at some point. You do realize that.
Oh, of course.
Because they need an expansion team.
Yeah, they're going to get an expansion team in a couple
of
years.
Yeah. In the United States, like,
I would be shocked.
I understand why they keep trying to make it work, but, like, at what point they've run into, like, civic county, you know, official after county official, who none of these places. It's not just like
Phoenix
won't take them. Tempe won't take them. Tempe has them now, I guess. Glendale
barely.
Won't take them, right? Like, none of these, like, there's a common denominator here.
They burn so many bridges
right now.
Apparently, they didn't even pay hotel bills. Did you see that?
That's right.
Hey, Murph, you know what the common thing when you start looking at all of your breakups? At some moment.
That's right. And you know what? I think it's good. They can go. I agree.
I've never had a breakup. Let's go.
Way to go, McGinnis.
Yeah.
Same here, Andrew. Good stuff. Very healthy seniors in college we are.
Let's go.
What if everyone else?
Not all of us can be Jimmy with his 23-year-old girlfriend. The only reason I'm saying that is because for our half-hour comedy class, Jimmy did a stand-up bit, and his 23-year-old girlfriend was like the crux of almost all of it.
Admittedly,
Bailey know this?
Okay, wait.
Yeah, he was there.
That's her name.
No.
Bailey.
Oh,
Bailey's
I thought you meant Ben
name.
Bailey.
I thought you meant John Bailey. What happens when you go to Notre Dame,
Bailey Falter.
Anyway,
that's
a good bit. Two, now I'm self-conscious about turning 23 in a couple months.
As long as you don't date 21.
Oh my god.
Then you don't worry about it.
Wow, from the top rope.
I would not have
that.
Hey, Jimmy, remind me you took an unnecessary shot at during your speech.
We need the joke.
It was like around. The joke was centered around the fact that my girlfriend's 23 and that girls only go for mature guys. So since she's older than me, it shows how mature I am and that I was breaking the news to all the people that don't have girlfriends that it's because they're not mature.
And then he turns to me and goes, sorry, McGinnis.
Amazing.
I'd like to apologize for something I said on air.
And I'm just saying, that is the type of negative energy you do not want heading into a crucial stretch of your season.
Are you implying karma for a stand-up joke is going to doom the Red Wing season?
Potentially!
As the adjudicator here,
wow,
we're just going to have to wait.
I will have to take Jimmy's energy into account.
Wow, this is hilarious.
Kick their butt tonight.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
I really hope it happens. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Like I said, I do want the Red Wings to make it if the Flyers do not. But we do need help.
But like if the...
And it would be so cool.
Here's the thing is like if the Wings win tonight and the Capitals win, I'm going to have to cheer for the Flyers and you're going to be cheering against the Wings.
Yep.
Do you have a tiebreaker? No, you don't. So if the Caps win tonight, are you guys out?
No, we're still alive because we played them in our last game. So if they win tonight, if they win in regulation... We have to beat them in regulation.
Gotcha.
If Washington wins in overtime, then we can beat them in regulation or overtime.
Gotcha.
If they win in a shootout, we just have to beat them. Or if they lose, we just have to beat them and then get the help from you guys in Pittsburgh.
First period watch party of Habs Red Wings begins immediately after this program.
Oh my gosh. Let's go.
You can have it on your computer?
Already do.
Nice.
Honestly, I thought about this. If by like some miracle the
one
Flyers are somehow like still in
one
the playoffs, like once we get to like senior week and people stop doing shows, what if I just like came into the studio and announced the game?
That would be very cool. That would be very fun, actually. Why not, right?
Yeah. If people aren't
and
doing
Jake Wallman
yeah.
scores and he's grittying again.
That'd be a cool final WVFI memory for very
that,
appropriate
that would be,
WVFI memory for
it would
you,
be so cool. My first month in college was in August of 2020, and there was not really much going on in August 2020, and really the only thing I really remember of that first month, other than like some scattered stuff, was being in my room watching the Flyers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because there really wasn't much else you could do at that point.
Full circle.
It would be very full circle.
It would be very full circle
if they
for them
made
to make it.
And look, if they don't make it, like, it'll stink, but like, maybe it'll be for the best, honestly, if I don't have that much, like, them taking up all that time. Obviously, the Sixers are going to be in their own situation of chaos. They're in the play-in game Wednesday.
Playoff Jimmy is coming.
If they win, they play one of my best friends, New York Knicks, in the first round, my friend Tommy. If they lose and then win the next day, they play my other friends, Colin and Christian and Sean. They play the Celtics. I guess it also applies to Irons, too, but I think you care about them as much as
they are. Seven.
Barely.
They'll be the seven if they win.
I've been so tuned out.
Surprised you're not a Knicks fan.
They are currently the seven now.
Yeah, no.
No, they're too bad for Irons to be a fan of them.
Whoa, wow.
They're the two seed.
Well, historically speaking.
Oh, historically. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's your favorite team? The Lakers?
No, I'm a Celtics guy. I'm a Celtics, oh, Bruins,
also
Bengals.
Works.
Bengals.
It just seems so unfair.
Way to go for the underdog.
Dude, it's by geographical
location. In fairness, that one actually is geographically
accurate. Yeah, no,
accurate.
No, I'm
Giants, that one, it's
Giants
geographically
is,
accurate.
And he's like, just like the Canucks.
Giants is very borderline. Yankees, Cowboys,
yeah,
Lakers.
We don't talk about Giants being a Bengals fan. Not
dude,
because
I was
Herb,
a Bengals
because
fan.
Because Andy Dalton was a redhead.
Dude, because Andy Dalton was born on my birthday. We share a birthday. And speaking of birthdays.
Wouldn't that just be his birthday is your birthday?
Yeah, we share a birthday.
Do you even like Skyline Chili?
I've never had it.
Oh, so you can't be a real Bengals fan.
Speaking of birthdays, when we are back here next week, we'll be recapping the 21st of Jacob Irons.
If we remember
Backer.
Which will be its own chaos. We will also be talking about the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs, potentially featuring the Red Wings, potentially featuring
Flyers.
The Flyers. Especially featuring neither of
them.
We
play
which would be very
Don't
sad.
Stop Believing is the last song.
No, I'm going to go with a neutral song here. I'm going to go with, so you know the Hockey Night in Canada montages.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with one of the classic Hockey Night in Canada montage songs from the 2013 playoffs. One of my friends, I'm actually friends with Ian LaPerriere's son. I don't know if you remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm friends with his son, and he loves this song because of this montage. And so we're going to end it with this. Jacob Irons, give me the sign. That's all for this week. Thank you so much. Enjoy the week. Manage the stress.
Keeping It Real is coming up next right here
on
W.
Let's go Red Wings, baby.
And let's go Flyers!
Go, Nuke.